Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's the NBA Prospects Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. You guys know what time it is. Your gracious hosts, Rob Bruin and T. Rose, we are back in the building. So much has happened. We've been in so many different directions. But Troy, we back. Tell me how you feeling, man.
Listen, man. I've been on your head just like you've been on mine about getting back to the pod, man. And I'm just glad that we're back to it. I know you've been handling your business. You've been traveling. And obviously, I've been here in Syracuse and doing what I can to make the best of the semester that it's been, you know, with this crazy COVID. But, you know, now we back. You know, I'm on break. You're back home out there in NY. So I think it's time that we dive back in and really continue to give the people something that they need, something that they love, and do what we do best, man. Continue to make them believers.
Absolutely. Before we even dive into the podcast, I just want to say this. As being your partner in crime, man, I'm proud of you. You're almost done with your first semester. I know this semester has been different. Mm-hmm. It's a completely new situation for you guys, you know, being at Syracuse. We were stepping into COVID. You guys are in COVID. Two different situations, similar fights, but you here, man. One semester down. I think what you have, two or three more to go. So, you know, just stay level-headed, man. We got so much more ahead of us.
I appreciate you. And I know, like, obviously, you know, I'm always talking to you and conversating with you about what's going on. But it's definitely been such an unorthodox situation, you know. And like I was telling you before, I just feel like it's a different level of opportunity, but it's like you're still pushing. You're still continuing to do what you need to do. And, you know, obviously, and that this podcast is a big part of, you know, me continuing to go forward, continuing to push. And I'm just glad that, you know, obviously I can make the best of what I can at school. But I'm glad that, you know, we're back. We're doing what we can. And we're here on the NBA Prospects. Let's get to it, man.
Yeah, man. Just for our viewers, man, y'all stay encouraged. Everybody that's getting to it, trying to get to their next thing, stay focused, stay encouraged. And, you know, we all grinding and we in this together. Now to the rundown. Mikey Williams and Lake Norman Christian get smacked by Sunrise. Over on the college side, we have a lot of people balling up right now.
Don't say no names. Don't say no names.
No names yet. No names yet.
Yeah, because I don't want everybody trying to jump on the bandwagon.
And so many other different things going on. So you guys stay tuned as we knock these topics out. Sunrise, Lake Norman Christian. Kendall Brown, number 10 on the black, 28 points. That's the only number I'm going to give because he dominated everything. He's dunking on people. He's grabbing rebounds. He's running the floor like a horse. Sunrise just looked like they wanted and needed to win that game.
And I love what I saw out of Kendall Brown. Like, I mean, he played a hell of a game. I mean, he was 12 for 17 from the field. Like you say, he was able to, you know, have 28 points. He was dominating down low, running in transition. Crazy dunks. Like, I know we got to talk about the dunk. You got to talk about the dunk where he almost took his own head off. Spicy. Yeah. He almost took his own head off. He wanted to dunk the ball so hard. But I think to me, what stood out in that game was the way Mikey played to me. I think how he wasn't as aggressive as we used to seeing him, especially as far as getting to the basket. Early on, I did see him, you know, try to get his teammates involved and get things going on the assist end, but it just definitely was an unfamiliar sight because I feel like Mikey wasn't as aggressive. I didn't see him taking shots that he would normally take. I didn't see him being assertive, being the floor general for his team as we usually do. So I'm sure it's an eye-opener for him, and just to let him know, like, hey, man, it's not going to be easy. You're a star. You could play well, but there's other young talents putting in work and willing to shine and going to put forth that effort every single game. You got to be prepared for that. So I'm sure going into the next game, he's going to keep that in mind, and he's going to come out way more aggressive for sure.
I'm glad you brought up the point of floor general. Trey Green, we're glad he was on the floor because – only stat out there for him as well, he had 28 points. We're used to seeing Mikey Williams do his thing and be the dominant force on the floor. I think with Mikey Williams, what we're starting to see is the competition is starting to catch up to him, and he's starting to get exposed a little bit, if you want to be quite frank about it. I think he's talented, but he needs to have a better shot selection. He has to be more aggressive and know that he's not the best on the floor anymore. He had a great year last year at San Ysidro, but this is going to be a different situation being at Lake Norman. They're looking at him to be more aggressive. He has help from Trey Green. He needs to fill out his role as the two guard for Lake Norman. And I really feel as though he needs to continue to push the ball in transition. He needs to get to his spots. He had a few possessions where he got people involved, but Mikey, he just needs to overall be more aggressive. I think if he gets to the basket, gets those free throws knocked down, his shot opens up from there.
I agree. And don't sleep, Mikey. You got a lot weighing. We still looking to see if you're on your HBCU run.
I might be worried about the HBCU no more, man.
But we'll dive into that.
That's just going to fall. Yeah, definitely.
We'll dive into that when the time's right. Let's move on.
Something else that really popped up to us. Bronny looking a little different. Speaking of 6'4", I think he's filled out. He stood next to his pops.
Right.
Those pictures were released. He's looking like a 6'3", 6'4 frame to me. Last year, he was 6'2". He's definitely grown. I'm not going to say significantly, but you can tell the difference, and it is good to see him in the gym. He looks stronger. He looks more fit, and I'm excited to see what he does. And speaking of Mikey Williams being the number one person in their class at that time, I think his spot is definitely going to be taken.
That kind of reminds me of LaMelo Ball. It's like you went from seeing this – not so necessarily tall, athletic player. So you start to slowly see him grow. And now you look at LaMelo, just think about it. 2 years ago, he was, what, maybe 6'1",
completely different.
6'2". And now you're looking at pictures of him standing next to his brothers and his fathers, and he's the tallest in the picture. So, I mean, these young players are growing at a fast rate, and Bronny is a living testament of that. You know, he's growing, he's filling out, and I really now think that with that happening, this is going to be his chance to really take high school basketball ball by storm and really dominate and play to his potential. So with that height is going to come expectations and growth. So hopefully he'll be willing to show us that as well.
You know, just to throw a quick monkey wrench in there, Bronny James right now versus Mikey Williams, 1-on-1, games 3. Who you taking?
Still got Mikey. I know he played bad. I know he played bad. I know he struggled the last game, but I still got Mikey. I still got him. I'm not just going to give Bronny that because he grew a little bit. I'm not giving him that. I'm not going to do that. Because sometimes when people grow, they go through that awkward phase of adjusting to their height.
To their body. You know?
And it sounds easier said than done coming from two guys who probably on a good day maybe touching 6 foot. In my case, so you know, it's easier.
Why you just do that though?
I just had to put some points on that, but you know, sometimes it can be an awkward thing going through that growth. So I'm sure you know, with that growth, Bronny's still trying to develop. So in that 1-on-1 game, I still got Mikey. He gonna take Bronny to the hole. He's gonna break a couple of ankles. So I got Mike.
Okay, I'm definitely rocking with Bronny on that one. I feel like he's already comfortable with himself. I don't feel like he needs to get adjusted. I feel like he's just fluently in motion right now. And not to mention his dad is who he is. He's been had him working out. So I think he would not take it easily, but I got him 3-2, Bronny, for sure.
My good brother Rob.
Talk to me.
Since we've been out, some different things have transpired. College basketball is back.
It's back, baby.
It's back. It is. And you know, and we're going to get into who I'm feeling. Which I'm sure you already know. We ain't got to get that far. But it's back. And obviously different circumstances. We all know due to COVID, so no fans are in attendance. A lot of these games that are being played are just conference-based games. But it's still exciting to see these young talents still be able to showcase what they have. Got some hot freshmen out here going crazy. Got some teams looking nice. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, who's standing out? What team, or I'll let you say what player first, what player is standing out so far that's a freshman, sophomore, whatever? Who's standing out so far this season as college basketball has got back underway?
We're going to go Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham. Mm. I'm going to take it back a little bit. I looked at a little bit of content because Slam's been pushing out some real good content. They've been going into the schools and just, you know, a day in the life of Cade Cunningham, what's going on. Just to give everybody a heads up, he's vegan. Mm. He's real clean, 6'8". I'm going to say his frame is about, I'm going to say 200, 190 area. And he's a gym rat, you know. And to be that tall at the point guard position and what we're looking at new in terms of LaMelo Ball, it just brings us back to no comparison that Magic Johnson era, you know, to be so tall at that position, that opens up the floor in a different way because the point guard traditionally was the smallest guy on the floor. So I'm just saying that now just to see him, he's great at running the break. He gets to the basket very well. And he's just going to be a mismatch. It's going to be very tough for a lot of people to guard him. So when they played Oakland the other day, nice windmill when he went to the basket, spread the floor, got his teammates involved. He had a calm 18 points. I mean, Cade Cunningham is really standing out to me, and I think he's definitely going to go high in this next draft for sure.
I like that pick. He's exciting. He's explosive. Mm-hmm. I mean, at times, he's a human highlight. And I think Oklahoma State, they definitely got themselves a gem with that player. But for me, I've been paying a lot of attention to Tempe, Arizona, to some Sun Devils, in particular, Mr. Josh Christopher. Mm. Can we talk about the exciting play and how he really he's teamed up with a talented point guard, Remy Martin, who have to give credit when it's due. But he has just really come into his game. And from the start, he has played with such a level of confidence. I think the game that he had against number 3 Villanova, when he had 28 points, 11 for 17 from the field. Like he was really getting to it. He knocked down a couple threes. He was 3 for 5 from the field as well. So I think that game really showed to me that his level of confidence, and he spreads his game all around. He doesn't just dive into just wanting to shoot threes or just wanting to get to the basket. He does it all. He shoots from the perimeter. He gets to the basket. He finishes strong. He's creative, he's shifty, and he also plays some defense. Plays some defense, you know what I mean? So I like what I see out of Josh Christopher. He's established that even though he's young, he's a leader. And that Arizona State team has really rallied behind his play. And I like what I'm seeing so far out of him. I think they're 4 games into the season, and he's averaging about 17 points a game. So, I mean, if he can continue to keep that going, there's no question that he's going to be top 3, top 5 draft pick going into next year. But as we move on, I got to ask you, who's your team? Those are individual players. What team is standing out to you so far?
Brother, when I think about a team that really stands out to me, I have to give props to the Baylor Bears. First, I never knew it was in Texas, 1. 2, they have a lot of talent. They have Mitchell, which is dope. They have Jared Butler. You know, they have Adam Flagler, excuse me. Just the camaraderie that team has and the way that they attack the fast break. I love the way that they defended Illinois. They put Illinois in such a tight bond in terms of keeping them outside of the paint. And it was a heartbreaker for us because Baylor was going to go against Gonzaga, which was canceled a few days ago. So I think Baylor really stood out to me because I had no idea that they were so stacked. And I really think that they're under the radar this year.
Yeah, Baylor, they've certainly played well. I wish we would have got a chance to see the Gonzaga and Baylor game. That was such the number 1 and number 2 team. That was a highly anticipated one. But we got to give a shout-out to the Syracuse Orange, too. I love what I've seen out of the men's and women's team. Orange is in the building. You feel me? Shout-out to Tiana Mangakaya. She just returned after her long battle with cancer. And, you know, after missing 600-plus days, you know, she's back. And she's doing well. And I like what I'm seeing out of the men's team as well. The freshman, Kandari, he's playing well. Big shout out to Dola Jai and Quincy Guerrier. They're all playing well. And hopefully speedy recovery to Buddy Boeheim. I know that the team has been stricken with a lot of COVID, you know, instances. If I'm not mistaken, I think like five players was out due to COVID. So I like what I'm seeing out of the Orange so far, men's and women's.
Yeah, Syracuse, you know, struggled last year. They were really like a 500 team. But I would say the biggest highlight for last year, even though, you know, it was some time ago, is the way they played in that ACC tournament against UNC. It was great to see NBA player now, Elijah Hughes, ball out, Buddy Boeheim, Quincy Gary in the game, and really just throw the emphasis, the icing on the cake to end this season, you know, the way they did. But as they transition into where they are now, Kadarius Richmond, I think he's flashy. He has a little bounce on him. He brings that Brooklyn swagger to Syracuse, which is upstate. So it's going to be good to see what Syracuse does. And they're a little undersized this year with losing Sidibe, which is going to be a little tough. So Dolezal going to have to, you know, eat his Wheaties, get his weight up, because they're going to need him. they're going to need him big time.
And it's funny because I'm witnessing him do such. It's crazy. He's actually my neighbor, Dolezal. We actually live in the same building. So I see him around here all the time working out and getting it in. And his game is progressively grown too. And be on the lookout. I got a little feature coming with Dolezal here over at Syracuse. So be on the lookout. He know what he's doing. He got some skills.
Man, you know what? You might as well tell him to pull up on the show. Maybe we could.
Make a call, man. Yeah, and shout out to Elijah Hughes, second round pick, 39th. Absolutely, 39th. Second round, 39th pick, Utah Jazz. Big shout out to Elijah Hughes.
Yeah, he's definitely going to help Donovan Mitchell do work next year. We definitely got to see that. Now the NBA is going to be fining all teams that don't play their superstars on nationally televised games. What does this mean? Because what do they call it?
Load management.
Kawhi put the title's New Balance is up.
I think this is a good move by the NBA, and I think specifically for nationally televised games, you know, as a viewer, and especially going into a situation where now, if the season is played through another pandemic and there's no fans, if we sit at home and we're going to – if this is our only way to the game now, is watching it.
Everybody got to be out there.
Everybody has to be out there, especially nationally televised games. We have millions of people looking to see whoever their best player is or whatever star is, whether it be a Kawhi, whether it be a LeBron, whether it be a James Harden. We deserve to see those players out there. So I think that's just a move by the NBA, knowing that this year is going to be a little different as far as the fans and our access to these players and being able to watch. So I think that's just – their way of letting them know that on those big days, that whether that team's going to take that 100,000, that's on them, but we're making sure that your best player is going to be out there on the nationally televised game. So, hey, I get what they're doing.
100K is a heavy load. That's not your average fine right there either. I mean, do they have it to spare? Probably. But hopefully this will help ramp that intensity back up. And, you know, especially with the season being reshaped the way it is now, everybody needs to be going on all cylinders. Nobody should really be wanting to take any days off unless they're hurt or they, you know, actually have to, you know, whether it's a family situation or not. But I think this is good. This is NBA putting their foot down, you know, and letting their players know that from every aspect, business and from a fan standpoint, not to mention the season tickets holders, which I read 40% of the NBA's revenue comes from season tickets. You know what I mean? So being that we don't have that, we need everybody on all cylinders and playing. So speaking of more money, NBA has a little insurance policy now. They're giving each team $30 million each to keep the finances and everything else intact. Make sure AD gets his 190, LeBron gets his 85. Make sure everybody is intact. And this is great because me and you both know the NBA has it. But this is one of the things that I think puts the NBA in a league of their own because of what they're willing to do to keep things going. You know what I mean? So I think that this is a great move, and everybody just has to hold up their end to the bargain. And I think things will run smoothly with this. And this just shows us really how much money the NBA really has.
I don't think it's ever been a question. We know the money is there. I mean, there's times that they take losses, but I think that this is just a great move by the NBA because now that the season is over and teams are looking to extend people's contracts and give maxes to guys like AD or guys like LeBron, I think you now don't want those teams to try to make those moves and then find themselves in the hole after the amount of money they just lost due to the pandemic and everything shifting the way that it shifted. So I think it's a good move. I mean, it does show that the money is there, and I think that helps these teams, you know, stay afloat and feel appreciated by a league that they just willing to put their necks out on the lines for and play a season in the bubble and then turn right back around and the season be starting up here around December 20th, December 22nd. If I'm not mistaken, preseason games are getting ready to start as soon as a couple days. So I think, you know, that's just their way of letting them know that, hey, we're working with you. And another thing they've also done, you got to pay attention to the NBA because they're doing a lot of things to show their gratitude and to make sure that these players are going to be out there. And another thing they did, no randomized marijuana tests.
Talk about it.
they understand.
They said
he's the face of it. He's the face. They almost did him like a dictionary. Like it was like no randomized drug test and JR's right there.
Picture of JR, right.
Yeah, you know, so – I mean, that's just, they understand these players are under duress. They're under stress. They're under a lot right now. One thing we have to realize is they're human beings outside of the sport that they
play. And they want to hit what? They want to hit the bleezy.
You know, the bleezy. You know, so, I mean, there's going to be times that, you know, they might need a little stress relief. You know what I mean? But take note, even though it's not going to be randomized, there's still going to be a day that we're going to say, hey, we might be testing you guys.
To be
so,
good. Yeah. So
it's up to the player or whoever to make sure that you just prepare for that day. But we're not here to blindside anyone. We know what's going on nowadays. It ain't no secret. So just know when your day comes, make sure you prepare.
Yeah, Troy. I think that the NBA not testing for marijuana is that's them showing that they're really working, you know, with the athletes. Not saying to go and run crazy and you know, do whatever you want, but we understand what you guys are going through. And it's legal in a lot of states now. You know, it's being decriminalized. Like, marijuana is legal. It's touching right-hand Jersey now. New York is next. Mm. And, you know, once it hits New York, that's it. Everywhere else is good or should be good. So I just hope all of the players take heed. You know, don't do too much. Hopefully you're not, you know, smoking too crazy before the game. And now you shooting air balls and shooting over the backboard. Forgot to tie your shoes. It's just
think you in six man out there and stuff.
pull up and do the Michael Beasley, tell you to come in the game. You got your warm-up shorts on. Now you got to go in the back end. Oh, come on. And I don't even know if he was hot. But nonetheless, It's a good move. Let's just be responsible. And not have Stephen A up here talking about stay off the what?
Yeah. I'm going to let him say it.
You already know how that goes.
I just saw a video of LeBron today driving in his Ferrari or his McLaren or whatever. And he had a mask on. He had the top off and he had a mask on.
He had the what? He had the top off, the mask on. That's what we need to name the episode, Mask On.
Please.
Future did Mask
please.
On.
Please. Mask On. Please. Mask up, mask on, whatever you need
please.
To
do. Please. And this is the part where, you know, we touch on so many different things within pop culture. There's a lot of things on Troy's mind. There's always things on my mind. So this is our segment, Tell Me What's On Your Mind. Detroit finally gets some love.
Detroit.
You just gonna cut me off?
Basketball.
That's desperation right there.
Shout out Mason.
Okay. Killian Hayes, starting point guard for the Detroit Pistons. We're happy for you.
No. Hold on. Put that same energy in to when you talk about Bron. When you talk about, hey, don't do Killian Hayes.
Because
like
we don't
that.
Know what Killian Hayes is gonna do.
Okay.
Is he proven? Relax. When you lose so much, you get excited.
Listen.
When things start to go your way. So I'm just here to tell you, I'm here for you as your brother, but calm down.
There's always people.
Calm down, because me, you're going to have this talk again.
there's always people that try to rain on your parade.
I'm not raining on your parade.
You just happen to fit the mold.
I want you to stay level-headed.
You just happen to fit the mold today, but it's all cool.
Now listen to me. Go ahead. Talk about Killian Hayes. Go ahead.
Killian Hayes, I'm excited. He was the number 7th pick in the NBA draft. Obviously, I watched his game, and I know he's coming from overseas, from Germany, if I'm not mistaken. But, like, really watching his game, one, he's a lefty. Love it. Yeah, game is always a little crafty and unorthodox, so I love the fact that he's a left hand. But his scoring ability, and I'm not saying that he is them or is going to be like them, but I will say his game and style reminds me of a James Harden, Manu Ginobili type style. Very shifty, very crafty, can shoot the ball off the step back, very skilled when it comes to the Euro step. I think that, you know, his game resembles those players in a lot. And I think a key thing that I paid attention to the other day was Derrick Rose talking about how hands-on he's been with helping him become comfortable in this league, develop his game. I mean, we all know that Derrick Rose is one of the best point guards to play this game. And obviously things have been different due to injuries. But when you talk about skill set, when you talk about still being able to play at a high level, even through his adversity, he's still that. And to me, over the last 2-3 years, it's kind of been in the conversation for 6 men of the year as well. So I think that that's going to be good, you know, being able to come off the bench, but then still being able to nurture and help these young players like Killian Hayes. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what he's going to be able to do for the Pistons, man.
This is great because Killian Hayes has paid great homage to Derrick Rose and talked about who he was to him when he was growing up. And we both know D. Rose was the man, youngest MVP ever in NBA history. So to see Derrick Rose step into that space now and to be able to be a veteran and a mentor to Killian Hayes, which his tapes look great. You know what I mean? He is a lefty. He's crafty. He's done his thing over in Germany. And I think he has the tools. He has those parts to his game to be an elite scorer in the league. I'm not trying to rain on y'all parade, but y'all are going to need more than Killian Hayes.
I agree.
To be effective. But, I mean, we have to count the small wins as well. Might be a little analytical, but I feel when redesigning and restructuring a team, you have to get happy about every piece because you guys know where you guys have come from. So
it's a win.
And we
got some other picks there in the draft too. We got some little offseason moves that we've been able to formulate. So obviously I know a big part of our offense and defense left with Christian Woods, but with young players like Killian Hayes, with veteran leadership, like Derrick Rose. But then again, we have to see, you know. So big shout out to the Pistons.
I just hate to pull your leg on this. It's bad when you're like fighting with the Knicks to see who's better. It's tough. And I'm not trying to
move on. Let's move on. Okay. No, you're doing that. So let's move on. You just put the Pistons with the Knicks.
I mean, they both bad.
I know we bad, but we not that
bad. We not that bad.
Don't do that. So let's move on to this next. Tell me what's on your mind, the final topic of the evening.
Understood. Respect. DeMar DeRozan ends up having some type of home invasion. His youngest son and one of his children upstairs playing in the area. And allegedly, the person that came into the house was supposed to be intruding Kylie Jenner's house. Now, I don't know what's going on with these Kardashians and why this type of energy is always around them, but this is tough. This was just scary to hear. I'm glad DeMar DeRozan and his family and his child are doing well. But we just have to be careful. You know, Instagram, social media, you just never know who's watching you. Unfortunately, I'm not happy that it didn't happen, you know, to Kylie Jenner, anything in that nature either. But I just feel like we have to be careful. And I'm just glad his family is good. And that's just a scary situation because nobody ever wants to come face to face with somebody in the comfort of their home and have to chase them out. And then come to find out the guy didn't even really leave the area after calling the cops. They had to arrest him. So it's good that they got him. They detained him. And shouts out to DeMar DeRozan and his family.
Yeah, big shout out to DeMar. And first and foremost, definitely glad that him and his family are safe, especially a situation where it involves children. So that's definitely a scary situation to be faced with. But I don't think if I'm him, I don't think it makes me feel any better that I wasn't the intended target. I think that it's kind of, it's surreal to know that this is a circumstance because of who I am, because of what I've achieved, that there's going to be people that want to envy, that want to be jealous, or that want to take, or want to be stalkers or whatever. It's just a strange and sometimes chaotic world we live in. And unfortunately, those are the things that come with that when you are someone of some sort of stature. So I think that it's a blessing that him and his family are safe. And I'm sure of Kylie Jenner. I know she's wiping the sweat off her forehead, but still, again, it's an unfortunate situation for her to know that someone was looking to do something. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, DeMar had to be collateral, damage of that.
Yeah, that's really, really scary. Well, listen, guys, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Rob Bruin, T. Rose on the NBA Prospects Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. We need you guys to like, subscribe, comment on everything. We have a new segment coming to the show called Fan Favorite. It's for everybody. Fans, tell us about your teams, the trades, the picks, what you guys like about what your organization is doing. And, shoot us a DM on the NBA Prospects Believe Podcast Instagram account, or hit me and Troy in the DM 101. Either way, we guys get you on as soon as possible.
And follow us. We just created us a new Instagram page for the pod. With a nice
logo, too. I know y'all like
nice logo. So go show that love, NBA Prospects _ Believe, and continue to just, support us. I know that we were out for a while, but, we're back, and we're looking to continue to move forward, come with new content, and continue to make you guys believers. So thank you, and continue to look forward.
Oh yeah, and huge, huge shout out to PC for killing it on that logo for us.
Shout out P Sizzle.
Yeah.
Shout out P Sizzle. P Sizzle, if you're listening, you're amazing. I appreciate it. Yes, I appreciate you. And we're gonna continue to do what we do. Let's get to it.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.